Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. And we're here at episode number 379, and it's a great Wednesday night here in Central Kentucky, where I, Stephen Zimmer, am broadcasting live. And tonight, joining me from not too far away and back on the show after being a little under the weather, is the wonderful, the lovely, the vivacious Holly Phillippe. Yay! She's back. Holly! You're there.
What's up, dog? What's up,
there
dog?
You are. There you are. There you are. She's back.
I'm kicking. I'm kicking. I have felt better today than I have in a while. But, yeah. I and lovely Big Pharma, you know, I couldn't get my inhaler for my lung disease, my COPD, and it made me quite sick, but I fought through it this week, and I'm on the other side. I still ain't 100%, but I'm on the other side.
Well,
yes,
you're getting a little more feisty. We know you're getting
antibodies.
Better.
Yes,
yeah,
and
we know you're getting
antibodies.
Feisty. Yes, that's true.
I am getting feisty.
Yeah, that's how we know. That's how we know she gets better, is when she gets more feisty.
Yeah,
that's
when
a good
when I
sign.
Start griping about things and carrying on and cussing and carrying on, yeah, I'm feeling better.
Yep. That's Holly. Mm-hmm. Chat room is open and working, Holly, and we're getting a good group in there already tonight.
On my way.
Looks like we have Carol Preflatish was the first one into the chat room, followed closely behind by Tommy V. Smith and Amy McCorkle. So, yeah, building up the chat room a little early tonight. Great to see, because tonight's going to be a theme show, which we haven't done in a little while. We want to do this periodically. Listeners have enjoyed them. They've messaged me to include those from time to time, interspersed with, of course, featured guests. So we're going to do another one of those tonight, and we might even have some awesome surprise call-ins to join us in the conversation. So, but before that, we'll go ahead and give you a little bit of news, because, of course, we're affiliated with the Imaginarium Convention as a podcast. So we got to pass you the latest, and there is good news on that front. As of yesterday, we opened up the discount windows. Yes, the discounts are open until September 20th, and they are open for everything from expo spaces to the event tickets and all that good stuff. So, yes, you can get discounted tickets in an expo space and save on that, get secured, because, of course, last year we sold out every space in both Creators Alley and the expo hall. So if you want that, yeah, it's a good time to get it. So you got it secure, you can rest easy, and, of course, you know, the discounts don't hurt at all. So that is open. So just go over to entertheimaginarium.com, and you can take advantage of all of that. Right now, the guest applications are also open. So if you're wanting to become a panelist or spotlighted guest for Imaginarium 2024, those applications are also open. Of course, we do have sponsors, and that is available and open, as well as individual patrons. And those help a lot, because we're trying to get a few things instituted early, and we're also trying to get some stuff printed early for fall events to get distributed out there. So we're hoping that, we get a few folks that come aboard as patrons or sponsors. So please take a look at that if you do get a chance, because, like I said, the early phase is very important, and we're trying to get some really important things installed and up and running and some promotional material out. And on that, I do have some good news. We did get our first two patrons and our first returning sponsor for the year, and that was we'll be doing formal announcements. But Per Bostet is back aboard as an official sponsor, which you're very stoked about. Of course, they gave one of the best room parties of any convention out there and one of the best spreads
and, oh my
possible.
God, I missed it again. I missed
yes,
the guacamole again. Oh, my God.
Well, maybe that's why they're determined to come back and see that you get that guacamole. So, but they're
well,
on it. And,
somebody,
yeah.
I'm putting it out there right now because, like, all of you in the chat room will be at Imaginarium and anybody listening. Somebody just pull me away for, I don't care if it's 15 minutes, pull me away and say, hey, we're going to go to Per Bostet's party so you can get some guacamole. And I want to make an appearance. So somebody remind me, because Friday night I'm usually otherwise occupied with my pitcher of beer and a straw. So, yeah, so somebody needs to get my attention.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah, we're very grateful that Per Bostet is returning as an official sponsor for 2024, and we will be doing that announcement pretty shortly. So be on the lookout for that and celebrate it with us. But, yeah, that just happened. And on the individual patron side of things, David Mattingly and Lynn Slaughter, we are very thankful to both. Lynn is a great author and also is part of those wonderful folks with Derby Rotten Scoundrels. Love that group. And Lynn is back as a patron, individual patron, and then David Mattingly. And again, both of them will get announcements. You all are hearing it first here on the show. So, yeah, very thankful to that. A lot of activity going on right now. So definitely a lot of traffic in the last day just checking out the site with all the new stuff starting to go up. So it'll be about a week or so before we start announcing some early panelists and spotlighted guests. But we're working on some big names, and I mean big names, for next year already. We've already been in some contact. Can't talk about details, but Holly can vouch. But yes, when I say big names, I mean some big names that we've reached out to. So that's coming.
I'm working on it, people. But you know what? And I said it. I said it in chat. I'm going to need some money, honey, to pull off what I want to pull off. So if y'all know sponsors, are you in with a company
or
whatever?
Yeah.
Please send them
our
way, because the more money I got, the bigger and the better I can bring you all. And because I talked to quite
a
few people, and I just, you know, I've not had, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars just to throw at people. But, yeah, if I get sponsored, even if I get a big guest, a big name here, a corporation can sponsor them. Just, you know, say, hey, I'm not going to do like a, you know, a $5,000 sponsorship, but I'll sponsor their travel and, you know, all that stuff, their fee and everything.
Which
that's
Holly
fine
could
too.
Tell you, it gets crazy. And, you can get in a situation, when you're talking first-class flights and things like that, trust me, it goes multiple four figures very quickly.
Yep. They want everything paid for, the big ones, and then they want, like, thousands and thousands of dollars to even
sometimes,
just come, And then they want,
stipends, honorariums,
their travel, food, and everything.
It
adds up. It
gets expensive.
But,
does add up.
I'm excited.
So
I'm working on things.
But we're working. But that's part of the equation as to why we're so eager to, like I said, see some early sponsorships and stuff, because that does help. And then we have some infrastructure stuff we want to implement and make sure that we get in place and some print material out early. We want to get some print material out early to events starting as early as October. So we have some definite goals. So, if you know some folks, please pass them along, because now is a really good time for that. So, but we do have some other news, and I do want to pass along, and that's Sandy Lender. The Genre Blender has a massive blog tour going on right now for the Choices Trilogy. I want to congratulate her. She's gotten some stellar reviews, and she actually got one that was 7 stars out of 5. I caught that, too. 7 stars out of 5. Ha, a little...
a little subtle
press reference in the glowing
you.
Praise of her book, but yeah, they loved it. I'm just joking. I'm sure they probably was not intentional on their part. I did think it was kind of fun though. 7 stars out of 5, but yeah, they absolutely loved her book, and it's a great review. And if you go on Sandy's social media, like on X app. You can see links to it in the round, and go check that review out because it's absolutely fantastic. So I want to give her major kudos on that. So, but yeah, we're going to roll into tonight's topic pretty quickly tonight. So I do want to acknowledge that the folks that did bring you tonight's show, and that is tonight, two names you've heard tonight so far, Per Bosfet and Sandy Lender, and focusing on that Fine Choices Trilogy. So let's kick it off and celebrate some Sandy Lender here. A little bit about Choices. So kick back, enjoy this, and then go buy the trilogy.
Prophecy stirring in the land of Unveiled. Dragons rise and an unclean army marches toward Amanda Sharif. Our unsure heroine has choices to make and enemy lives to take in Sandy Lender's epic fantasy series, available now from 7 Star Press. Choices meant for gods, choices meant for kings, and choices meant for all offer girl power Machiavellian adventure of hope versus despair, a chosen one versus free will, and good versus evil. Learn more at authorsandylender.com.
Those are all three books are good choices, folks. So yes, thank you, Sandy. You're awesome. Appreciate all that you do. And so now we will shift over to Per Bosfet and give you a little bit about them. Per Bosfet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks. Per Bosfet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye David Blaze in M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia. Or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at PerBosfetPublications.com. At Amazon, or you can find the press in person at events such as Inca Junction in Indianapolis and Louisville's Imaginarium Convention in July of next year and Prime Crime in Indianapolis in October of this year. Per Bosfet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Thank you, T. Lee Harris, Marion Allen, and Sarah Marion, who I call affectionately the literary triumvirate. Yes, yeah, they are, or it's literary trifecta. You know, either one works because they are just absolutely fantastic individuals, and all three are superb writers. So yes, Holly, back to the topic at hand. It looks like we got some more guests in the chat room. We got V Brown. I want to welcome, and looks like Ren Million is in there. Looks like Moon. That's Dewan Hurd, and yes, definitely good to see everybody in there, and this is fantastic.
Yeah, lots of people.
Yeah, we got a lot of folks.
We got Carol, and you said Sandy,
and
Tommy B. Smith in there, and yeah,
a lot of folks.
Everybody's in there. Beck's in there.
Yeah. Couple of people had trouble logging in. If you do have trouble logging in, just refresh your page. It gets finicky at times. It's a long time vexing mystery sometimes as to why it does that, but just try again. Just go ahead and reload and you can get back in there. But the tonight's topic was one that actually kind of came out of some discussion between Holly and myself earlier. It's a topic Holly's been actually paying quite a bit attention to, and that is the topic of inspirations, writing prompts, and sparking creativity. So yeah, tonight we're going to get a little bit of that, and like I said, we may have some surprise calls along the way. And but yes, Holly, you want to kick this off? Because this is something that you've been watching a lot on the internets.
Me and Steve usually have, you know, different opinions. And so it always is a good topic of conversation.
Or different approaches, yeah.
Well, that's true. But it's a good thing because then we can discuss it. We'll argue about it. We'll discuss it. But I've been seeing a lot about writing prompts. I've been seeing it in writing groups, on social media, and everything. And people are talking about it. You got people arguing about it. You got people saying, oh, if you're a good writer, you don't need writing prompts and blah, blah, blah. Well, here's my take, okay? And here's what I told Stephen, because Stephen, you know, don't use them either. Okay, but here's my take. Your brain is like any other muscle or organ that you have. You know, you have to exercise it, right? You have to keep it active, right? Or it just atrophies and, you know, then you're really out and left. So to really get those juices flowing, I think it's great to, like, say, I don't know how to start out there. You are a romance writer, okay? And that's all you write. Well, you try this writing prompt. Try an image that's like a crime scene or, you know, something like Carol Preplatish would love, you know, with the do not cross tape, the police tape, and all this stuff like she puts on her table, you know. And you get that image and do a few paragraphs. You don't have to write a whole short story. Just exercise your brain. So you're thinking outside the box. You're thinking and challenging yourself in a new genre, in a new sphere. You're going to get those creative juices flowing. And you'd be surprised that later on, when you're back to writing what you usually do, your romance or whatever you write, you'll use some of that. You'll be like, oh, my God, that's a good idea. I put that in there. I love writing prompts, personally, just to exercise, you know, because I don't sit and write long novels like Stephen, you know. I don't do that. Mine's more short, sweet poetry, you know, that stuff, children's. But I love writing prompts because then it fires up my creativity and gives me inspiration that I may not be thinking about. You know, say like, I don't know, you come out of a meditation or something, your mind's clear, you're not thinking of anything, pull up a writing prompt. You know, it don't have to be an image. It could be, you know, a few word sentence. Somebody says, you know, the dog went walking. And then, okay, well, go ahead, finish that in a few paragraphs, you know, make a short story. And sometimes I think you'd be pleasantly surprised it might end up being a full-length novel once you get into it, because then it's going to fire off these neurons, and you're going to be like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is what I was looking for, the missing piece of the puzzle. But that's how I view writing prompts. I'm not coming at it saying, oh, no, you need to use these, or, you know, if you're stuck and you're having writer's block, use it. Yeah, you know, I'm not saying you have to, but I'm saying they are a good tool, just like anything else. They are a tool to exercise your creativity. So that's my thought. Now, Steve, I'll let you have your point of view.
Well, yeah, it's not really a counterpoint, but my point is that one size does not fit all when it comes to writers. We're all different creatures. Some of us are plotters and some are pantsers. Some are somewhere along that spectrum. I've always said I'm in the middle. Some of us need word counts every day. Some of us don't. I'm not one that has a daily word count goal. My goal is to write regularly. I try to write every day. So that, to me, that's the important thing. I don't worry about word count. So something, you know, for me, something like NaNoWriMo is not something, you know, that I need. You know, whereas other writers, they need that structure, and that NaNoWriMo provides that kind of encouragement, you know, to finish a project. So, and when it comes to things like, you know, like writing in public, I'm always in awe of writers that can go to a crowded place like Starbucks or coffee shop and write with people all around them, because I have to be isolated. I have to create my little bubble, and that's where I feel best. And I'm very organic in the way I approach it. I don't do well with a lot of your traditional, you know, kind of like writing exercises or prompts or things like that. I just, my brain doesn't quite work in that way. But again, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, all writers are different, and it's a matter of finding what works for you and what things, you know, work for your process, you know, whether you, you know, meet, you know, where you are in all those different areas. And to tell you, you know, I've, at this point in my writing, I know exactly what works for me, and my process works very well, and I am able to, you know, produce quite a lot at this stage, because I have figured out all the what I am, you know, in terms of all those different categories. But the thing is that I think writing prompts are, you know, can be very useful. So I, to a lot of writers, you know, that helps the kickstart. It helps get the ball rolling, and helps give that little spark that sets the fire in motion, to use a little example there. But it's actually something I more or less agree with Holly on, but with, again, you know, the caveat that, you know, not all writers necessarily do work with them well, or like people like me, and not all writers need them. But I do think they can be very handy and very valuable. And then definitely I've seen writers that do benefit quite a bit from them. So yeah, I think that writing prompts, I think it's very short-sighted and I will criticize writers that say, oh, good writers don't need writing prompts, or, you know, think the ones that Holly was seeing on social media and in some of the online forums that were criticizing them, and I would argue with them. Well, that may not work for you, you know, and I understand,
right,
you know, that I'm one of those people. It doesn't work for me necessarily. But, again, they're falling into the trap of thinking that just because it does work for them, that it's just, you know, it's going to work for every other writer. And I certainly have seen writers that have done quite well, and I've seen some amazing anthologies even done around them. There's one that we were involved in with Michael Nost called Between the Lines, you know, where Michael gave them the prompt of a opening statement, opening sentence and a closing sentence, this workshop, write various writers, and said, go and write a story. You've got the opening, you've got sentence, you've got the closing sentence. Now fill in between. You can do any genre you want. And that led it to the anthology Between the Lines. And that's a great example of where the prompt, or prompts, I guess, because he gave them the closing line too. It worked just beautifully. And so they, you know, everybody wrote their stories literally between the lines, and turned out to be a great anthology. And we still have that one available for Michael. But that was a fantastic example of an exercise, mm-hmm, that was done with writing prompts and showed the value of them. Absolutely, irrefutably. And so, I would definitely get into it with even some of the writers that are like me that don't need them necessarily, or thrive on them, I should say. And, you know, I would get into it with them a bit and say, hey, we're not a one-size-fits-all type
right.
of artist, you know. Yes,
right.
It's definitely, you know, it's a matter of finding what works for you. But, yeah, I mean, that's more or less my take on it, Holly. It's not really a criticism. Not a criticism. Yeah. I'm actually more in agreement with you to an extent.
Well, I never like, oh, don't use them. Well, you don't have to use them. It's just
exercise. Yeah, I
creativity,
just don't. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
yeah, you don't use them because, well, you write every day. You go in there and you write every day. But, you know, not everybody's able to do that or, you know, get that done. And this helps to spur that creativity, to keep it going, you know, chug it along, because you should write something every day, you know, even if it's a sentence or two. Just write something daily, you know, just to keep your juices going and your creativity, you know, and inspiration, which, gosh, you can find inspiration all around you, inside your house,
mm-hmm,
outside your house, TV, music.
Mm-hmm.
I love, and Stephen gets tickled with me, but I drive him crazy with all my immersive music. But I love the immersive music and different sounds they've got on YouTube now. They've got like you know, medieval tavern and Harry Potter and Dracula's Castle and so like
and
I
Shire
use it
music.
When I'm editing.
You had Shire music on the other day. You're playing Shire music.
I did have Shire music on.
Hobbit music. That was great.
I did. While I was editing Stephen's book. So yeah. I like to like match the vibe, you know, when I'm editing or if I'm writing or whatever. I find one of those immersive playlists and I listen to that, you know, and I'll sit in my bed. I was in bed here and had the laptop open, was editing, and I put it up on the TV because, you know, they have a little play thing. And I showed you the other night that there was like, it had like fantasy, like mystical fairy things around this tree. There was like this big tree house and it had like a library of books. I showed you, Stephen. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And those are also props. I mean, you know, if you're sitting down to write, I don't know, a murder mystery, well, put on some, you know, spooky music or like, you know, some kind of music that would embody, you know, that. Surprise mm-hmm. or thriller, you know, type of situation.
Music is part of my process because that's how I create my bubble. It's what I use to help
and
insulate myself
too.
From like distracting out of the room things. Like if I was just sitting in pure quiet, you know, a garbage truck pulling up, you know, would distract me or, you know, people shouting outside or something like that. That's a big reason why I started playing music so many odd years ago, because it created this kind of like sonic bubble around me. And then I, you know, made use of that because I put different, you know, I would skew the kind of music I was playing to kinds of scenes that I was getting into for the given day. So, yeah, the tones and, you know, I'd play, you know, just, you know, if I was doing something more of a grandiose kind of scene, I would play something more progressive, hard rock or metal. If I was playing a battle scene, I'd play something more, you know, right at you kind of heavy metal or, you know, you get what I'm saying. I would tailor my music choices to the kind of scene that I was doing. Like today I was doing a very, very deep and kind of like introspective scene. And so I was playing actually a Fate's Warning album called Darkness in a Different Light, which Tommy, you know, definitely is familiar with. He'll probably be smiling in the chat room over that one. But yeah, but I mean, the tones are there and it definitely helps with that. And speaking of, by the way, his ears must have been burning just then. Because I do believe that we might have a special visit from the amazing award-winning nation-traveling wonder that Tommy B. Smith is. And here he comes, live on the Star Chamber Show. Your mic is on, Tommy.
Hello, friends. Hope you're all doing well.
There he is.
Hello, Tommy B.
Tommy B.
Stephen, how are we doing today?
Your ears are burning when I start talking Fate's Warning. That guy, hey, I'm going to call in right then.
Well, yes, I've been a long-time fan. So.
Well, I still think of you when I get those albums out. I have to say, I do. Like you associate certain friends with certain bands. I know some people probably can relate to that, but yeah, you're one of the people that in my head, you know, associate with Fate's Warning. So, I had to mention that because I had that album on actually earlier today.
Oh,
so.
That could be a whole entire conversation unto itself. Been listening to those guys for many years, but yes,
we'll have to do that.
Always good listening.
Yeah.
Even some side projects, I know, we've been talking about. So.
Yep. They definitely, which I'm going to check out the group, the A to Z album that their lead singer did, Brie Alder with Mark Zonder, that you told me about. I'm going to check that out for sure. But tell us briefly, you've been on the road quite a bit. You've had Been just knocking out conventions left and right. And just give us a quick update on yourself, and then I'd love to get your – Holly and I would love to get your take on this topic.
Well, I've been doing a number of events this year. And you know what's funny is I'm actually having to check my website to see where I'm supposed to be from week to week. But not anymore because I'm done for the year. Mostly.
Mostly.
Potential event that could still happen, but otherwise everything officially booked early in the year is completely done. Just finished up KillerCon, which that was an entertaining experience, as it's been the past few times. But did OKC HorrorCon last week, last weekend, actually. So that's at least a couple of them back-to-back. But that went really well. KillerCon is slightly more of a writer's conference, but based around extreme horror and splatterpunk. And they have the Splatterpunk Awards there each year. And, of course, the infamous Gross Out contest as well, which I actually competed in this time and did last year as well. So that gets really interesting.
Bridget Nelson, who's
Wings of Pain.
Bridget Nelson
got
two awards
on Friday. What is it?
Yeah, I saw that Bridget Nelson got two of those Splatterpunk awards.
First woman author to get two of those awards.
Yes, the first woman to win one, and she won two of them back to back. Bridget really is amazing.
Huge congrats! And she'll be coming on the show pretty soon. So. Yeah, keep that in mind, folks. It's a little teaser, but yeah, she's going to come back and join us in the near future. But yeah, she got two awards, so that was cool because that looks like a great event, especially if you know that's your genre. I mean, that's the place to be at. It seems like a really really good event, and of course you fit well there.
Tommy B. Yeah, I'm not really maybe what's known as this gross out splatterpunk type author, but you know I have my moments, so I can step in and do that sort of thing as well. So it's always interesting. Yeah, Bridget, you know I love to see that for her. You know she's become a good friend, so definitely awesome times.
Yeah, we're excited to see that. And, congratulations on your run, because it's been impressive. I mean, I've been watching you. It's like, God, every week you're somewhere exciting. But I guess that means that now you're free. You can just come visit the Holly and Steven B&B and just relax for a few days or something like that.
Well, perhaps, you know, because, yeah, I'm just completely free. I can do whatever I want now.
You can just chill. Yeah.
A few months left in the year, so obviously I have all the free time in the world at this point.
Don't we all wish? Don't we all wish?
Yes. Don't we all? Yeah. You know, we have nothing but
amen.
Time.
Yeah, we still have to feed cats and things like that, but
cats are expensive.
I told a couple of people over the past weekend. Taking care of six cats is surprisingly convenient when you've had 11 at one time. Another friend of mine said, 100 degrees.
No kidding.
Yeah. A friend of mine down in Texas said 100 degrees is not that bad when it was 112 yesterday. So.
There you go.
There you go.
It could always
good
be worse.
Perspective.
It could always be worse.
It's perspective. Perspective is everything.
It is. It is perspective.
But now, what's your take on this topic? Because you've kind of heard about where Holly comes at it. You've heard kind of where I come at it. And where's Tommy B come at this this discussion?
Well, I know the general topic is inspirations, prompts, and sparking creativity. Now, a friend of mine, though it's been some time, and yes, of course, whom you'll remember as well, but Logan Masterson, years ago, sat on a panel with him at Mid-SouthCon, and he gave the most eloquent talk, you know, even though it's a panel, which is typically not reserved for one person to speak. But someone asked about, you know, that age-old question that so many authors and creators get asked, where do you get your ideas? And he sat down his pen and said, well, ideas are everywhere. And he went on this big spill about how ideas, inspiration are in everything, you know, around us, the walls, ceilings, floors, everyone we talk to, everything we see, everything we experience. And, you know, I suppose most of us know that to be the case, but it was just someone saying it out loud in such a way that I've always remembered. I've always, you know, attributed that sort of quote to him, that ideas are everywhere, beginning with and then with that statement and with ellipses and going off into this massive just rant, you know. And, but, you know, ideas really are. I mean, everything we experience, everything we see and taste, smell, every conversation we have, I mean, they're all ideas and inspirations, could be prompts. It's prompt creativity, you know. everything I do, I mean, comes from a place, you know. I mean, I don't think anything any of us do is for absolutely no reason or without inspiration. So, you know, I'm doing the Black Carmenia trilogy, as it's been decided. New era stemmed from a place down in Louisiana, as well folklore and history and just a sort of atmosphere down in that region, you know. And Oblivion's Child, my newest novel, is the second book in it, but stemmed from a sort of different place. It is also falls within the same realm, you know, the cosmic psychological horror and southern horror, and it has its inspirations as well, you know, that are but I mean, really, it's all just it comes from everywhere, within and without. So there's really so much we could talk about. We probably could talk about it far longer than the window we're allowed for this
right.
show. So yes.
Well, I will say one thing. You mentioned conversations, Tommy, and I'm going to use an example involving you, as a matter of fact, because. You know, I had my Hellscapes collections of
yes.
short stories.
Yes,
I have three volumes of them out. And then Tommy and I were talking on the phone one night, and he made the suggestion to me that I should attempt to do a full-length Hellscapes novel. And I never really thought about doing that. I mean, because I really enjoyed getting the express that side of me that has the Clive Barker influence and some of those things and my love of horror stuff and getting to really – just immerse in that genre. And so I really had loved writing the short stories and you know, they all had, there's a little bit of a connectivity to them because they are hellscapes. But yeah, you know, beyond that, I hadn't thought about doing a full length novel. And then Tommy suggested, have you ever thought about doing, maybe you should try doing a full length novel like that. And then all of a sudden I just sat there and I thought, well, I've got this one story kernel that I think would be much larger than a short story, and coming out of that, you know, I let that percolate, and that ended up becoming the novel Days of Darkness, which is at this point has been edited, and we're just waiting on the cover art to get finished, so that we can get it out in time for Halloween, and it's. And the early cover art stuff that I've seen is just awesome. I can't wait to share it with people. But that full-length standalone Hellscapes novel that I've got coming out, derived inspiration in talking with Tommy, you know, where he just thought, you know, hey, you know, why don't you do a full novel of one of these type of tales. And so, yeah, there you go. I mean, that's a perfect example. Conversation with fellow writers and the encouragement that you give them, which, you know, Tommy obviously, you know, encouraged me to do that, definitely makes a difference sometimes. So thank you, Tommy.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad to hear it, you know. I love that we can just, you know, sit down, order a what have you, say penne with marinara and,
right.
You know, little, you know, tray of garlic bread, what have you, you know, and, maybe a little balsamic olive oil glaze or something and, say, you know what,
ooh,
I'd like to write about this. And then one day, you know, after you've had that little meal, you know, even 15, 20 years down the line, you know, that one little thought can blossom into a string of ideas, you know, a short story, a complete novel. And it can really just become so much bigger than the idea you initially had, bigger than sometimes the individual who originated the idea, which is always, you know, tremendous to me as far as, you know, what we do, that something we hatch can become so much bigger than what we are at that time. So many others.
That's what I'm involved. About.
Yeah.
It's sitting and chatting with other like minds. That's why, you know,
yes,
I'm going
absolutely.
Back to, we say, the tribe, you know, because you do. You bounce ideas off of each other. And just like you two, for example, you put the idea in Steve's head to do a full-length Hellscape novel, which is something Steve never even thought about. And I'm going to tell you right now, people are going to love this novel. You're going to love this novel, Tommy. It's got the creep factor. It's got horror elements. I mean, Steven had so much fun with this title. And,
that's awesome.
I mean,
glad
editing
to hear
it. Sometimes
yeah.
I'm like, Steven. You know, I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, you know. And then I always tell him, because some of his novellas, too, everybody knows I hate snakes. I don't just hate them. I lose my mind. I mean, I can't even function. Steve has seen it in action. It's not pretty. I literally am phobic. And I wish I wasn't. I really do. But it's just the way it is. And it's never going to change. I've tried to touch them. Not going to happen. No. I gave up.
So let me guess. Steven wrote a novel about snakes.
Oh, you better believe it. Not just one, Tommy. No, he's put it in several books. You know, I don't want to give too much away. But in novellas, you know, and they're these ginormous snakes. They can't just be regular. No, they got to be monstrosity.
Oh.
And I've told him, I've actually stopped editing and told him, if you don't quit writing these snakes, I'm not going to edit these books.
Yeah, well,
Hellscape,
I don't know what
volume three.
Yeah, all right. Let me throw this out there. Carrie doesn't like snakes very much either, so I wrote New Era, which is, like, full of snakes.
Uh-huh.
So apparently that's something we do.
Yes, so we have to just
Steve
show our love
hilarious.
And appreciation. But yeah,
Steve's like, oh, I put something in this book for you. And I'm like, it better not be a damn snake, I swear.
I go where the story goes, and well, I mean, they've come into some of the stories, and they work. So.
Well, it works. Give you that. It works.
Oh, Tommy, but thank you, man. I didn't want to overstay our welcome with you, because I know you had a limited amount of time tonight, but,
yeah, that's,
but that is a good
thank you for your input.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm glad we could drop in for a little while.
Yeah, you are fantastic, man, and very soon you get to enjoy this new novel.
But he actually gave me something to think about. You know, you were saying about Masterson had talked about how inspiration's all around us, and, oh, man, it's so true. I mean, even the walls themselves. If, you know, just sitting in my bedroom, I'm sitting here looking, you know, at our walls, and Stephen's got his stuff on his side. I've got, you know, mine's all gothed out, witchy on my side. And so,
the
bookie
walls
mean,
are different.
Sitting,
that's interesting as well.
Oh, very different. His room is very different from my side of the room. And it just makes it more personable, you know. He has his side,
right.
I have mine.
I understand.
Side. But, you know, I could just look up and definitely could start writing, you know, something from the inspiration of what I see. You know, I could pick the Victorian picture I got hanging here, an actual Victorian picture, and I could go with the people in it and write a whole novel just about those individuals that were Stephen's ancestors, whatever, you know. I mean, it's true. You can. Just everything around you. Hell, even a blade of grass. Go outside, you know, sit under a tree. Yeah, there's inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
You can see bunnies or,
yes.
you know, whatever, leaves falling or, you know, yeah. So, yeah, it is. It's all around us. That's for sure. And listening to other people's conversations, that's a big one. Authors tend to do that, or they see people. You see unique individuals out there, you know, people that are outside the box, and it gives you inspiration for a character. It just does.
Mm-hmm. That's how true. But thank you, Tommy. Yeah, I know you got to go, but appreciate you so much for calling in tonight, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are awesome.
Thank you for having me for a little while. And I will talk to you people later. All the best.
We'll have you on as a formal guest very soon. Take care, Tommy. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, that was an awesome call. And yes, and we're not going to stop because we have another caller that agreed to chime in tonight, and that is someone you have not heard from in a while who did actually do some co-hosting with us for quite a while. And, of course, you will know her from Imaginarium and All Around, and just got done with a great event in the Smoky Mountains. And, of course, is the one, the only, the amazing Rose Marie Machario. And I believe that her microphone is on. Welcome, Rose. I see you there.
Hello, hello. How is it going?
My sister from another mister.
Yes, yes. How's it going, guys?
Great to hear you.
How's it going?
This is awesome.
It's going. You've been quite busy. Oh, my.
You've been busy.
Inspiration at your little shop that you're doing fortune telling. You're doing tarot. You're doing all kinds of neat stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Hitting conventions.
Doing inspirational readings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of bounce around all over the place. And in my downtime, I've been editing and trying to cram everything in.
Yeah, you're just down there with our friends Gene and Kyle, down there at the Smoky Mountain fan event.
Fan.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Was John there? When Pika there?
I didn't see him. I don't think he was there at that one.
Maybe he wasn't there. I thought he was there.
No,
he's been
George.
So busy. I can't keep up with everybody. Well, he's
so
good. He's too sensitive. It's okay.
No, it's okay. He wants to chime in and tell his opinion.
Wants
you know,
to get his opinion, yes.
Yes, his inspiration is treats.
Definitely. But how did the weekend go down there in the nice, wonderful Smoky Mountains?
Well, we had storms, so it wasn't that nice.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of storms that kind of hit randomly. So, well, other than that, it was really fun and, you know, got to see a bunch of people I hadn't seen in a long time. And, you know, it was pretty interesting.
Fantastic.
Neat.
So, what do you think about writing prompts?
Writing prompts? Oh, gosh. I kind of like having it come to me organically. I see a lot of those writing prompt journals and stuff, whether they be, you know, just for inspirational purposes or affirmation purposes or magical purposes, and I just don't vibe with them. So usually things just kind of come either to me from dreams or, you know, maybe listening to music or just being out on a walk and listening to just nature, like whether it's the birds or the squirrels fighting or, you know, the wind blowing through the trees. You know, there's always just kind of something out there that, you know, just kind of organically happens with, as far as like inspiration goes.
Oh, I love
nature
prompts.
Yeah, you're similar to me, it sounds like, then. Yeah, because I'm kind of like that too. I draw from a number of different things, and dreams are big from my side. So
yeah.
I get you, Rose. I know. I know how that works.
Cool. Well, the far the entire Magic series has been the first book was a dream. So
dream.
And then it just kind of grew from that little bit of a dream that I had. So, yeah. I've had
so was a character dream, or did you dream of a character at first, or was it like a something broader? I'm curious as to the origin there.
It was
there.
Full
That's cool.
scale. I actually still have it in a notebook, the original dream that I had that
wow.
was based on the book. And I thought maybe one day, you know, if I ever did like a special edition with like maybe maps of the different places and maybe different things that is just odd or things like that, that would be a really cool thing to include, even like
mm-hmm.
early sketches of the amulet and things like that. That would be,
well,
you know, just kind of really cool, or, you know, my notes and stuff. But I mean, I think I ought to get it at some point and just type it up as is.
Right.
Just to be,
well,
like,
I
authentic
think, you know,
for the notes.
You could do a compendium.
A what?
A compendium. That
What's
would
that?
Go along with your book series. Compendium is something like a... well, sometimes it's like a workbook, you know, that goes along with a book series, or you could present it as maps, your notes, the inspiration
mm-hmm.
you took, the dream. You could put all that
oh,
in
okay.
there and just call it a compendium, see, that would
oh.
go with
background.
The series. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, background
yeah.
on things, yeah.
Yeah,
kind of
cool.
A, yeah. That'd
be cool after like
yeah.
the end of the series or something. They got a long
yeah.
wait.
We got to wait until we end.
Yeah.
Better type that up though, just in case sure the ink and stuff don't fade. And you know how like you write something down and then over time, over the ages, you know, ink fades into the paper and you just can't read it.
That's true.
I have poetry in binders that I wrote like from the time I was like 12 all the way up until, you know, I was grown, like all through, you know, school age and stuff. And I wrote a lot of it in pencil, and some of it I can barely read. So I thought maybe one day, you know, I can have that published. One day, if
yeah.
I could still read it. Because it would be, you know.
Take a picture
the,
now and save it.
Yeah, baby writer me back in the day. In the way day.
Well, that got the ball rolling, though.
We all
I mean, certainly.
Somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's just one of those things. It's just like, I guess it was always kind of in my blood. And I, you know, haven't been writing too much, just kind of been busy, but I really enjoyed editing this surprise. I don't want to say what it is. I'm just going to say it's a surprise for the readers that
yeah.
are patiently waiting for book three of the Magic series to come out next year. And this is just kind of a, if I can get it done in time, I'm a little over halfway through it. And then, you know, I'll send it to Holly and just wait for phone calls of shock and awe and oh my God and screaming or whatever. But I can guarantee there's no snakes.
Oh, well, good.
Nice.
See, that's so much more pleasant. That's great.
Yes, maybe proverbial snakes, you know? But not real ones.
Right. Right. That's
so.
Yeah,
but
that's
yeah, it's totally different. The readers are going to just have kittens, and those kittens are just going to be like, what? What just happened?
Now, without giving away details, where did the inspiration come for this one? Was it also a dream, or did it come from another spark? Where's the spark for this one?
It came from a song. I was at a bar and this song came on, and I was kind of, I don't know what happened to make me think of it, but it's really, really raunchy. So I don't know if I should say it, but it came from a song. And it's like it's a nod to a classic movie. I won't say what genre or anything like that. I'll just say it is a classic movie, and that is basically what inspired the entire thing. And it was a challenge for me because this was written back, way back whenever I had been finished with the Amulet of Elements, and I was really working hard and trying to get it published, and everybody kept telling me no. And, you know, in Twitterverse, talking with other authors or, you know, just friends I'd made on there, they're like, you know, if you don't publish your first book, you just write something else and, you know, challenge yourself, right? It's a completely different genre or something. So I did. I wrote two different genres of two different things. This one in particular was a really big challenge because it was a different POV, and it was just not a genre that I would have really anticipated writing, but I wanted to challenge myself. You know, someone gave me a challenge, I'm like, okay, hold my pen. Hold my pen. We'll see what happens.
Well, you know what? That happens, because I can relate to you again here, because I had a editor, Kimberly Richardson, who we've had on the show several times, and she's, you know, appeared at some past Imaginariums, but she's awesome. Holly and I love her. But she had looked at me once years back and thought, hey, Stephen, how about writing a steampunk story? And I had never, been inclined to write in steampunk, and never had, didn't have anything in steampunk. I was strictly, at the time, I just had, you know, my fantasy series and a cross-genre series out there. But, you know, I thought, like you, I was like, yeah, hold my pen, because I was like, yeah, let's go for it. And because, at the core of every story, no matter what genre it is, you still have the same engines. You still have to have engaging characters and interesting plot. It's just that, you know, some of the things, the trappings that define this genre, yeah, those can be worked into it. And so I wasn't really afraid of doing it. And it turned out that I enjoyed it so much, ended up writing three steampunk short stories that were included in the Dreams of Steam anthology series that Kimberly did. Back then, and so I ended up doing more than just that. Like you said, you know, sometimes, yeah, somebody gives you a little bit of a challenge like that, and sometimes it can lead to good things. Yeah, I get it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
and it wasn't even anything specific. They said, they just said write something different. I'm like, okay, well, what else is there different from fantasy? And I just picked a couple. I'm like, hey, look, this works. And then, so we'll just see how, hopefully the readers will be cool and be accepting. And then it kind of branches off to maybe a whole nother group of readers. Never know.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So we'll see.
Yeah, you might get a whole new band of them. But now you have created a prop, because Moon's like, he would totally rock a Hold My Pen T-shirt. I would too. And I said, we need stickers. And I told Rhea, I said, there's you a sticker prop, because she does the greatest art for stickers and everything. She's an artist anyway, but you know,
Red Million is awesome.
But yeah.
There
you go, Rhea. You've got a prop. Hold my pen.
Yeah, hold my pen.
Watch this. Hold my pen. Watch this.
Oh, man.
Now they're saying we need buttons too. We have a button maker. We actually have one somewhere. I don't even know where it's
at
anymore.
Dust that
we
off.
Have one somewhere.
A
we
good
have
one.
Some.
A good tech or a button maker. We can dig that out. We got to find that.
It's like we need them all.
Yep.
It'd be awesome. It would be awesome.
It would. I like that. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're having fun with that. I really like that.
Good.
Yeah, Rhea could come up with some kind of artwork that would really work. See, that's what I said. We get to talking. This is the thing about networking and talking with like minds. You
exactly.
bounce ideas off each other, and crazy things just pop up. And when you've got, you know, this tribe that has all these different qualities and different strengths, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing what can come together.
Yeah.
You know,
it'd be like
the writer's
idea of Jackass. Watch
mm-hmm.
this.
Yeah.
Oh, my pen.
You know it's going to be another week, and Renmillion's going to have some kind of cool, awesome looking like die cut vinyl sticker.
Cool. We were playing D&D. I gotta tell this story now. We were playing D&D one night, and
speaking
Rhea's
of inspiration,
and we're all sitting here. And I have this one spell, which for the life of me right now I cannot remember the name of. But anyway, what it essentially does is make a tent, a bubble-like. You can see out. Nobody else can see in. And as long as I'm sustaining it, you know, with my wizard powers, as long as I'm sustaining mm-hmm. this bubble, everybody's safe inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't be home.
Sanctuary.
And,
refuge.
And
yeah.
Everybody on the outside is just like, you know, oblivious to this. And I call it the fuck it bubble. That's what I call it. I'm sorry. That's what it is. It's a fuck it bubble. And so Rhea's like, oh. So here she grabs her little tablet, and she's sitting there while we're playing, and she created the awesome sticker, and it says, you know, I'll be in my fuck it bubble, and it has this awesome bubble. And it's
oh,
just
that's
fantastic. Yeah, it's
uh-huh.
great. And just she brought him the next time we played. Or no, it was the next time we played. She brought him. So,
yeah,
I got one on my laptop.
Actual stickers. Yeah, awesome.
Yep. I got one on my laptop.
Amazing.
Nice vinyl sticker.
Yep, can confirm.
Awesome.
But, yeah, that's some fun stuff.
That's what happens.
But, so, like, you never know. We're going to get that spark of inspiration. That's true.
No.
That is true.
Yeah,
I am
even
looking
playing
forward
games
to
like that, D&D, or you know, any kind of role playing games or anything like that, you can get inspiration from. You know,
you just need to step away from just the usual stuff and just let yourself clear out. Like, go to a movie, play a role playing game. You know, just get out. And just clear away from your routine, your regular habits, and sometimes that can jar some things loose creatively. And I've found that to be the case when I'm feeling a little bit in a rut. You know, you definitely need to do something a little different sometimes.
Right.
That helps.
Experience life. Sometimes I look at my tattoos and think of something that, you know, what if these tattoos, if for certain ones, they could come to life and I could use them as weapons or, you know, something to protect me or just anything like that. That would be cool.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Manifest them into, you know, and then I could be the next Marvel hero. I'd like to be an anti-hero, but, you know, I could launch my, you know, the birds off of my, you know, of my tattoos or, you know, the vines, you know, or something, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've gave me a hope. There's a writing prompt. There's a whole idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a writing prompt right there.
I'm covered in them.
You're covered in writing prompts.
Yes.
There you go.
I can
so now they're gonna,
anyone.
It's no longer a tattoo parlor, Holly. It's a writing prompt parlor. That's what's
going to be. That's right. 100%.
Exactly.
I love anti-heroes. You were talking about anti-heroes. That's what Moon said. You know, they're always better. Yeah, Loki for the win, I have to say. My beloved Loki. Yeah, yeah. He's definitely an anti-hero, but he's the best.
Yes.
He is so much better than Thor. He's the best.
Yeah.
They were supposed to come up
that way about
two.
Deadpool. Deadpool's
a
great anti-hero, too.
Yep, that's true. Yep, one that's beloved.
There's a topic. There's a topic for an entire show there. You could do a show on great anti-heroes.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
There would be a fun panel, too.
Mm-hmm. That would.
You know, change it up from the DC versus MCU into just anti-heroes. Yeah, but anti-heroes version.
Yeah.
That would be
we'll have to add that because Tony Acri will, you know, he lives for that panel every year. He loves that, that showdown. So we'll just have to do another panel.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because Tony loves the Marvel versus DC. And every year, you know, I try to put different panelists up there, but usually John Pikeff, he's Dan Bugsley's on there, and Tony, of course, leads it. But, yeah, Tony just loves that panel because every year there's different stuff to talk about. You know, they're coming out with different characters or there's different, you know, comics. Yeah, I mean.
Right, and it would be fun to have a Marvel versus DC anti-heroes special, you know, like, you know, anti-heroes version
that
or something like that.
Yeah, anti-heroes.
Because both sides
like
have really good anti-heroes.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true. Oh,
you have
man,
to throw that at Tony,
I'm
Holly.
I'm going to put that down.
You have,
well,
to run,
I've
you have to run that by Tony.
I'm actually putting it in right now because I, people, have already started on next year's
programming.
No.
I've already got scheduling going. I've already been plugging stuff in. That's the truth.
Yeah, we'll make notes on that. But this is a good one,
so
too. I mean, actually, Tonight's topic of inspiration, writing prompts, and sparking creativity is, I think, a good one, too, for the mix. You get, like I said, you get so many perspectives, and it's not a one-size-fit-all, and that's what I love about writing. There's no hard rule about what works. I mean, you can't tell somebody exactly what's going to work for them. They have to, you know, listen to different things and try different things out and find what works for them. That's the secret. Yeah, you got to find out what works for you, and listening to others talk about different approaches certainly helps and gives you things to try. But the important thing is, you got to find your path to what makes you tick, and that's the thing about writing. I think, what works for you, because it sounds like Rose and I sound very similar on some things here, and yet we're very different from writers that are
in
the chat
room
here.
Yeah, you write very different things.
Our approaches are very different from some of the folks in the chat room, because Rhea, Renmelian she just thrives off of writing prompts and exercises and things like that. That's something that, she really just, she's like a, just a cornucopia of creativity with those things. And so, it's cool to kind of see what works.
Well, to me, and I'm sure I'm not alone, they're fun. I love writing prompts. I don't know if you've paid a lot of attention, but like, Steve, when we go to the, the Jenny Smith, help me out there, the Bluegrass.
The Conference
Coalition.
Of Writers. Yeah, the Conference of Writers.
They have every spring. And when we go there, I know the last time we were there, they did writing prompts. Oh, the year before, we did writing prompts because we talked about poetry and stuff. And I started working on this Victorian story in this garden, and these two people were, and I started going off a bit, and I really enjoyed
Stephen
it.
Vest.
I had a lot of
Stephen
fun.
Vest. Yeah, he's a great writer, folks, yeah. and he's a fantastic journalist here in Kentucky. But Stephen Vest, he's just a great guy. We need to get him somehow out to Louisville, but for our thing. But I just love him. I've known him for years. But I came in on that workshop just to kind of observe later that day, and you were participating in it. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, he really did get folks rolling. Yeah.
I really, because, you know, as I said, I don't normally write stuff like that, of course, and I don't know but it goes to the Victorian era, and of course, because that's where I am from and need to be, and so, you know, but here we are, alas, but I started writing this elaborate story, and I'm like, where did that come from? You know?
Yeah, you did.
I mean, it was...
You flushed out a good story.
Yeah, you read it.
Line. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it actually was.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's cool how, you know, it's different strokes for different folks, they say, you know. Each person has their own thing, you know, that inspires them. But
so, Holly, I guess you could say that going to Stephen Vest's workshop was a good investment. Okay. Sorry. I had to do my puns. Because everybody loves him so much in the chat room. I know they love him, but
Lord help him. Well, Rose,
I
do have a question, though. I'll direct it to you both, you and Steve.
Okay.
Is if you feel like you're in a block, like a writer block, what would be a way that you would automatically, what would be something you would do that you know is going to spark you? You personally, what would you do if you are completely blocked and just couldn't do it?
It depends on if I'm starting from scratch or if I'm in the middle of something I'm working on. So if I'm starting from scratch, I just read over all of my notes and outlines to get it going. And then if I'm in the middle of things, say I'm on chapter 22, then I'll go back and reread chapter 21 just to kind of get it going again.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah, I see that for sure. And for my end of things, I have two things that I do. One is just simply my process, and that is over the years I found that, you know, I have a dedicated writing space that's only used for writing, and the computer is now ancient that I use for writing there, but it's not hooked up online, so I have no distractions on it. Strictly 100% just for writing, completely unplugged from the internet, and again, you know, that space is only used for that, and I always put on music with that. All the little habits that I do. So what's happened is since for years, when I go into that space, my brain kicks into a writing mode. It's like a Pavlovian kind of reaction. So that's one thing that's always helped me overcome writer's block. And the other thing, when I feel myself getting a little stymied on a section of a book, I don't hesitate to jump forward a little bit to a different scene. That's a technique that I do to help me just keep it moving, keep it flowing. And then I found that what happens is when I go back to the scene that I was kind of running into a little bit of a trouble or lagging a little bit on, I'll find that I'm able to get, you know, do it right that time. It kind of jogs it loose. And so I don't allow myself to just mire down and be unproductive. I try to keep it flowing. And so, yeah, I will pause there and then go to another and work on another scene and keep the momentum flowing. So that's a technique that works for me as opposed to just getting absolutely stuck and just staring at the screen. I don't do that. So I think those two things, the combination of how I react when I'm starting to lag and then the fact that I have developed this dedicated kind of process system, I think that keeps my brain from totally getting stuck in like a writing block mode. But that works for me. Again, everybody's different.
Oh yeah.
So how's
that's
that, Holly?
Awesome.
There you go.
I liked it. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody, I sort of said everybody has their own inspirations, right? You know, and sometimes it's cool to try other people's. That's why it's always good to hear. And, you know, if something ain't working for you, you could try what they're doing. Say, well, hey, that might work for me. You know?
Right.
May or may not, but it's worth a try, you know. Try something different out of your box, you know. It's always good to try new things.
Yeah, that's why it's always like when I encounter creative writing teachers that act like something is gospel, you know, you have to do it this way. But to me, that's always a red flag. And because it really, I mean, the longer that I'm in it, the more I see it is a individual process of, you know, trying different things and discovering the things that will work for you. And so that's. Yeah, that's where I'm coming from, at least. And that's what it's more and more as time goes on. That's how I see it. Absolutely. Very individual process.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, try things. Yeah. Yeah, because that's the only way you're going to find those things that do work for you is by listening to people and trying, you know, testing out some things. And yeah, and that's something, yeah, along your pathway. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, give something a shot. And yeah, it doesn't matter where you are in your path. I mean, I'm sure that 5 years from now, I may try some technique or some approach that might be like, this is fantastic, and add that into my mix. I'm never closed off. I'm never closed off to new input and new ideas of new approaches. Because you never want to be closed off. Yeah, because there's always something you can learn from other writers or. Writers or editors you work with and people like that. Yeah. So there you go, Holly. Hopefully that made sense.
I liked it. It did make sense. It made a lot of sense. I just go right back. I'm easy as I go right back to the ambiance. You know, I love the YouTube ambiance playlist they have there, you know, and, yeah, you just sit and listen to those or close your eyes. But now most of them have some kind of visual aspect to it, too. So you get visual with the ambience. And, I mean, you could be anywhere. You could be seaside, you know, and it'll have the sounds all around you. And, like, some of them have music or, you know, Rose, I know you would like, you know, they have a lot of meditation ones and, like, Buddha chanting and different things. Yeah, they got some really cool ambiance playlist there, and that's what I love to do. I love to sit
and Shire music, as I said earlier, even Hobbit music.
Yes, I was editing the Shire music.
That was so great.
when I edit
that
Rose's books, that's what Stephen gets so tickled because when it's either two things, Rose, you're gonna love this. It's either two things. It depends on where I'm at in your book, right? But usually it's some kind of like fantasy where it's called, you know, I'll do like a Celtic folklore and playlist and stuff. But then when the action starts ramping up, I'll sit and listen to my Finball radio, which is what I listen to when I do Stephen's Ragnar Stormbringer and Raiden books.
Viking,
I listen to Finball radio, which
music.
Is Viking Scandinavian music.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a live radio, but it's 24/7.
The Norwegian
folk. Yeah,
I love
chatting
music.
With them,
yeah.
and they're great.
Yeah.
They're a great bunch. But that's also inspiring too. I mean, yeah, I listen to it to edit, but even if you know just sitting and writing,
I love War Drona and stuff like that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so it just puts you there. It, you know, you're already in your mind's eye. You're in the story. But when you add the sound that you're hearing audibly and, you know, and you have all this ambiance and the hearing it, yeah, it's pretty cool. It adds a whole other layer for me. But some people drive crazy and they wouldn't listen to it. I know it drives
some people need silence.
But yeah, some people need silence.
A lot of people
need
to be silence. Yeah.
You know, people like you that listen to heavy metal and you know, whatever, but yeah. Yeah, everybody has
I listen to metal for depending on the genre. Like, I think each, some of my characters, you know, definitely need metal. Some of my characters need something a little bit more magical sounding, you know. And some of it just needs some drama or, you know, just really passionate kind of stuff like Nightwish or something, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's a good choice.
Yeah,
that's what I listen to at times. Love Nightwish and lots of groups in that sphere. Like Xandria and Serenia and Xandria and other Leaves Eyes and other symphonic kind of metal bands in that area. Yeah, love that.
Temptation.
Love that subgenre. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. But I'm in awe of the, like I said earlier, I'm in awe of the folks that can walk into a coffee shop and be surrounded by 80 other people and write without being distracted. Those people, I don't know how they do it. I just don't know how they do it. I could not do it.
Sometimes
and many do.
I've
they
been
love
in
it.
Really
that's their favorite,
noisy places
favorite setting.
Yeah. I've written stuff, maybe not books per se, but, you know, I've been in different places and just been inspired and start writing song lyrics or just bits and pieces of ideas that I use later. So.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I'll come up with ideas, but I'll note them down for later to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Anything I get in mind, and nowadays it's I'll message myself in this modern mobile world that we have. I'll message myself with an idea, or a note or something like that. So I've improved, Rose, because in the old days I used to scribble on like a piece of paper or a napkin. Then when I'd actually get to look at my notes, I can't read my own handwriting well because it's so bad. So it would kind of defeat the purpose. So at least in the modern day here, at least when I do keep notes for myself, most of them actually get retained because I can actually read them later. So that's a good thing. So there are some benefits to technology, I suppose. But my handwriting is just awful, though. But
I want to thank you guys for letting me on.
Yes,
thank you. It's about 10:30, and I've got some puppies that have their paws crossed.
All right. Well, you get them out there. Thanks for joining us. Tell us real quickly. Tell folks real quickly where they can find you online.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I'm everywhere. Well, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, and TikTok.
Very nice. All right,
and the website,
thanks, Rose.
myname.com.
Take care of them puppies.
Thank
Love
you.
Love
Great to hear from
great
you.
Great night. All right, you
too.
Bye.
Night.
Bye. Night, Omi.
And it looks like the chat room is rocking. And I give a shout out to Edgewater Comics in there. Yeah, somebody new that has joined us, definitely. And, I see some good banner
Devin
with Moon.
Hilton,
and
honey.
Is that Devin? That's Devin. Okay,
Devin.
I didn't want to assume who it was. But that's Devin Hilton.
Well, that was me. Yeah, it's
fantastic.
Devin. Yeah, he hung there.
Well,
he was thinking
I know
he was
the company
to go
name.
To sleep, but he's still signed in there. So I don't know if he just
I know
signed
the company.
In the list later or what.
Well, of course, but I didn't want to assume who was behind it because I didn't see that particular moment of chatting.
Yeah.
But yes, Devin Hilton. Yeah, just God, I love the guy. He just keeps winning awards all the time. I tell you, if it's film festival awards or screenwriting awards, I mean, God, man, he's had quite a run the past year or so. But just love the guy. Just great, great guy. So yeah,
oh,
shout out to
guy.
Devin
and,
Hilton.
And if he hadn't gone to bed, I think he went to bed. He's just signed in, but
he
left
the shout
us
out,
on.
Then.
I know.
Yeah,
well,
nice.
Hopefully he'll go back and listen to it. He said it was a really, really good show, and he was enjoying it. But I would have loved to got his perspective because he's coming from the filmmaking side.
And comic
so,
side.
You know,
and comic side.
And
filmmaking
comic side.
And graphic
I mean,
novel comic side.
Too,
yeah.
Steve. Well, what about being inspired for a film then? As a filmmaker, put your filmmaker hat on. What inspires you?
It's similar. I mean, as far as like when I've written screenplays, it's been a similar process to the way I've written prose and novels and all that good stuff. When getting the kind of impetus to do a film project, I have found that comes from interacting with people in the film community sometimes, where it's like you talk to them, engage with them, you know, people that are friends of yours, and you start talking about a possible project idea, and you just get fired up about it and talking to other folks about it, and that develops a little less of a solitary inspiration than it is for me with the book side of things. Sometimes that kind of gels out of talking and interacting with other folks in the film community to actually move forward and do a project. And it makes sense to me, I think, because film is a very collaborative medium, and a lot of folks come together and bring something to the table. Screenplay, of course, is the blueprint at the beginning, but as it goes along, I mean, you're going to have so many people that bring something else to it, like every actor is involved, the director, of course, and, you know, different departments, you know, art departments and costume designers, and everybody's going to bring something of their creative self to the mix. And I love that. I love that collaborative dynamic, very different from the book world, and very much a kind of a group creative project that it becomes. So often, yeah, the impetus to do a project comes also from kind of a little bit of that. Yeah, you know, talking, just starting to discuss a possible project, an idea with a few other folks that you might want to work with, and then next thing you know, you've got some people lining up that want to do something together, or if you established a good team to work with, if you're somebody like Herschel Zond, for instance, who's works for a long time with people like Jason William Allen and David Waite and other people. You find your people, but it definitely has a more of a group approach, if that makes sense, for inspiration.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I found for me, too.
And I think it is, like me and Dwan is talking about in the chat, being inspired by people, and I'm like, conversation,
mm-hmm.
Hearing the stories, the mishaps, personalities, yes, definitely,
mm-hmm.
because none of us are the same, we all have our own little quirks and different sayings and different nuances about us, and it's interesting to sit and have those combos, especially with like-minded individuals.
Oh, yeah.
You just never know what you're going to come up with, And they spark ideas in you that, just like Tommy did you, that you never even would have thought of, unless you're having
true.
A conversation. So networking is so important in that aspect.
Yeah. Yeah, thinking short story on Hellscapes, and then Tommy goes, why not a novel? Well, Tommy,
Why not
a novel?
You've got a point. Why not?
Or you're talking to, your friends in the film world, and next thing you know, let's make a movie. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
But we're nearing the end of the show, folks, and we definitely hope you've enjoyed this theme show, and definitely, if you like them, let us know to do them from time to time. We've enjoyed it, and we definitely want to try to bring you some different stuff now and then, and of course, always want to feature and spotlight indie creatives always. But as you heard tonight, we got to work in a couple of great folks. You got to hear from Tommy B. Smith and Rosemarie Machario. So yeah, we can always work in folks to these kind of themed nights. Always can do that. And thank you for listening. And Holly, go ahead and wrap, because we only got just a little bit, about 30 seconds left here.
Okay.
Go for it. Wrap her up.
Join us. Here we go. Join us next Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another great show and guest. But we do like to have these little topic nights once in a while. But rest of the week, be creative. Until next Wednesday when we chat again, have a great, great evening. Night, all.